You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Thursday, 30 May, we have a rate decision from our MPC at 3 o'clock today. Expected, no change. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, we've got Sean Dindery from Tribe South Africa, Pepkor results, fintech doing well, Brazil doing well, margins expanding. It's a good little operation, I think. Viv Govender ran Swiss on the NVIDIA results that came out, Wednesday night last week. I want to get a sense from him. Is there still value here? This is a $1,000-plus stock now. They're doing a stock split, 7-for-1 in June. Deborah Slabber from Morningstar South Africa. Post-elections, expectations around the government. We've got no poll data, but what are we thinking? And what about the fact that foreigners have been buying our bonds? This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. It may take 80 billion rand in 10 years to fix Transnet's core rail network. Getting it right could add as much as 1% to annual GDP. 80 billion for 1%, that is a steal. Business day, BHP walks away from the Anglo deal. Yesterday was the last day for the put up or shut up, and BHP did not, so deal is over. They can't come back for another 6 months. Morning markets, US was red, S&P and NASDAQ both down 0.7%. Over in the East, mostly red. Exception, Sydney up 0.25%. Tokyo off 1.5%. Hong Kong down 0.9% and Tencent down 0.75%. Commodities mostly red. Gold, $2,354 an ounce. Brent is green, 83.56. Platinum, 1,040. Palladium, 9.56. Rand is 18.44. Bitcoin, 67,900. And top 40 opening call, red open, 420 points or 0.6% to the downside.
MoneyWeb Now. On the Money. Also available on podcast.
Trading now with Sean Dindery from Tribe Investments South Africa. Sean, appreciate the early morning time. The Pepkor numbers that came out Tuesday, because of course we had a voting day yesterday. I mean, revenues growing up 9.5%, margins expanding. The big bits, of course, is fintech, which is now, over 10% of revenue. And their Brazilian operation, they're accelerating there. Your take on the numbers? I thought they looked fairly good.
Morning, Simon. Thanks for taking the time to speak to me. I do believe that Pepkor had really, really brilliant results just off the back of, the environment that we've been operating in, specifically last year with high interest rates, high inflation. I see you mentioned that, the fintech side of it is doing really well. I mean, there is a surprising stat there where I think they're actually selling 7 out of 10 smartphones in South Africa currently, which is actually unbelievable. The traditional side on the retail side, like clothes and the rest of it, has been doing really well. And I think with Pepkor, there's a lot of opportunity going forward because it is really well diversified, in my opinion. It's not strictly what people think it is in terms of, your Ackerman, Pep stores, etc. They do have a credit business. They do have an insurance business. Now the fintech business and also the Brazil business as well.
Yeah, they've also got that that parcel business, which I've actually tried once or twice, and it kind of replaced our post office. My sense around it is that, and to your earlier point, I mean, it's tough out there. We know that as consumers, high inflation, high interest rates, but they sell into the right space. And in many senses, they kind of like the ShopRite of the clothing part of the business. ShopRite is groceries. Here we've got clothing and tech and the other bits, but they really are just the operators here. They're doing incredibly well in that regard, and capitalizing on tough conditions and value offering.
100%, Simon, and I do like the fact that you compared them to ShopRite based on the fact that ShopRite is also doing quite well. And it really is just targeting the majority of the population under the income base that's in South Africa that's really going well for them. And if they carry on with this strategy, I think there is a lot more room to grow as well.
Yeah, and what, at 77 cents headline earnings, continue operations. This is a cheap share by almost any way you throw it, as opposed to perhaps ShopRite a little more expensive. We'll leave it there. That's Sean Dindery, Tribe Investments South Africa. Appreciate the early morning.
Your money knows it's not just about the money. It's about your returns, returning the favor, and empowering people. Your money can do more to change the narrative. Beyond delivering consistent returns, investing in the Stanlib Kanyisa Impact Investment Fund can help eradicate poverty and protect the environment. Invest for more impact at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting with Viv Govender from Rand Swiss. Viv, appreciate the time. Today we had NVIDIA results out last week. As has become fairly standard, it kind of knocked it out the park. I imagine it must be a stock you're holding in the AI fund that you're running there at Rand Swiss. What was your take on the numbers? I mean, they are just producing quarter after quarter of astounding growth.
Yes, it's by far our best performer, well over 100% return so far, and it's only been about a year since we've held it. It was one of our larger positions at the start, and now with the growth it's had, it's basically, you know, the largest. So yeah, we've held it until now, and the reasoning is pretty simple. I mean, the comp that people have around these numbers is, or the comparison they have historically is that they're comparing NVIDIA to Cisco back in the day, if you remember. And Cisco was basically something that also had a massive rise and then fell after the internet bubble burst in the early 2000s. I think the main difference between what NVIDIA is doing and what Cisco is doing is that Cisco was doing stuff that had two issues. Firstly, it was very easy to get overcapacity. Mm-hmm. By which I mean that once you had the ability to basically, if you look at what happened in the internet in the late 90s, early 2000s, that it was overbuilt. And then it took a bit of time for, you know, video and stuff to come through to actually use up some of the capacity that was created. NVIDIA has no such problem. If you look at just right now, XAI, which is Elon Musk's AI company, just raised $6 billion for a $24 billion valuation. And most of that's going to go to NVIDIA.
Yeah, he said he needed 100,000 specialized semiconductor chips. Most of those are going to come from NVIDIA.
Exactly. And Microsoft is spending, as I mentioned to you before, the biggest infrastructure spend in human history. This is by a company. And this is comparing them to countries. I mean, we're talking about more per year than was spent to go to the moon. More per year than was spent to build the US freeway system, highway system. That's the kind of money we're talking about here. And one company is doing that, and Meta is following, and Amazon is following, and, you know, Apple is likely following secretly in the background. No one knows exactly what they're doing, but everybody is doing something like this. And not just companies, but countries as well. I mean, it's the Saudis, the French, and so on. And all the money goes to NVIDIA. But the thing is that what's different between NVIDIA and Cisco, beyond just the fact that demand doesn't seem to be, you know, lacking up anytime soon, is that what NVIDIA is doing is much more difficult than what Cisco was doing. Yeah. There is very little ability to step in and do what NVIDIA is doing. I mean, a whole country, the whole of China cannot compare what NVIDIA is doing right now. Okay? They are multiple years behind. This is the second or first largest economy in the world, a very developed economy, you know, in relative terms. And they are still years behind what NVIDIA is doing. So yeah, that's the difference. The question that arises is this value justified? And it's only justified if AI continues to do what's called scaling. Scaling means that you don't have to add any new special sauce. All you do is add more computing power and more data, and you get better results. We will know by the end of this year when GPT-5 comes out if that's true or not. If GPT-5 is not right now they have Claude, they have GPT-4.0, mm-hmm. and so on. And the thing is that you don't know the difference, quite frankly. You can't look at Claude and say, this is definitively different or better than GPT-4.
Yeah.
You could do that with GPT-4 versus GPT-3, right? You need to see the same difference between GPT-4 and GPT-3 from GPT-5 to GPT-4 for this valuation to continue. If GPT-5 comes out and you really can't tell the difference between GPT-5 and GPT-4 without doing some fancy tests, then I would have some serious doubts about the valuation of NVIDIA then.
Yeah, but I take your point. Now, I'm looking at the chart of earnings per share, market cap, revenues, free cash flow. They've kind of moved in sync. I mean, it hasn't got that far ahead of itself. And you mentioned around capacity. I mean, from the latest results, they were saying demand for the H200 in the Blackwell exceeds supply. They will have new chips out at some point. I don't know when. But it's everyone. You mentioned it's the Google, the Amazons, the Metas. It's also Real Madrid, it's Volvo. There's just no one else out there with this. To your point of Cisco, they were network switches. We could produce them. NVIDIA is just that far ahead of anybody else.
That is exactly. I mean, I had an engineering guy tell me once that you must understand that computer chips, if you play these games like Civilization or, you know, Age of Empires, they have a, what's called a tech tree.
Yeah.
And there's things you choose to specialize on. The chips that NVIDIA are making are pretty much the deepest down the tech tree of any technology humanity makes. It's much deeper down the tech tree than, for instance, what Elon Musk is doing going to space or what Volvo is doing building cars or whatever. Because we literally are bumping in some cases against the actual limits of physics, of what it's capable of actually being as small as possible, of the distance between the different, like, you know, conductors inside the chip and so on, is literally at the limit of what physics is allowing, or almost there. You're getting any smaller than this, you could have like quantum effects where, you know, things are not certain and so on. Nothing else we do gets close to that. It's a very complicated kind of industry. And obviously, you know, it's very hard to mimic. And that's the one comparison I want people to understand, is that this is the most difficult thing people are doing at the moment. These machines that ASML builds out at Holland, that TSMC is using, are costing, you know, multiple billions per machine to create. You have like a significant chunk of the entire electricity of Taiwan being used to build these, to operate these factories. And you're pretty much absorbing the entire engineering and manufacturing, you know, talent of an entire country like Taiwan to create these machines. And NVIDIA, of course, is building into that. And the second part I want people to understand is this, okay, the stuff that we talk about NVIDIA and you know, Microsoft and so on, right now there is a danger because about four companies, over a third of demand for NVIDIA chips. But this is only because they are training right now. Once we get to a point where we actually are going to start doing what's called inference, which is actually using these machines or using these computers, these systems at home or wherever, firstly, if you have the envision of the AI system, like your AI assistant, who's going to basically be able to help you with your life and figure out everything in your life, that thing's going to have to know a lot about you, a hell of a lot about you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Do you want that to sit on a cloud somewhere, or do you want that to sit on your personal PC?
Yeah.
And that is going to be even more demand for NVIDIA products.
Yeah, I take your point on that. We've seen with the Microsoft Surface and their new AI appointed computers where you want to do it on the machine rather than in the cloud. And I particularly like your point around, let's see what ChatGPT-5 looks like. Viv Govender, Rand Swiss, always appreciate the time.
And that's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. So, I mean, NVIDIA, since results are up, I mean, the stock closed at, 1,148 yesterday. That's up almost $200 since the results were announced. Do you think there's still value here? Do you think it still has some upside, or is it perhaps now just become eye-wateringly expensive? Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
Your money knows that reaching new heights means turbulence. But what if you don't have to feel it? Our partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management gives you access to a broad range of global strategies. So when you invest in StanLib's Global Multi-Strategy Diversified Growth Fund, your money can withstand the ups and downs caused by market fluctuations. Seek more returns at stanlib.com/more. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
I'm chatting with Deborah Slaba, Portfolio Specialist Director at Morningstar South Africa. Deborah, appreciate the time. Elections. This year is full of elections from the world over. Of course, the one we care most about is our own election. Counting is happening. We will start to get results. The key difference here, although we've seen it a bit, is going to be coalitions. We've had them at municipal level. We've had them in the Western Cape many years ago. But likely, we're going to see a lot more coalitions out of this election.
Yeah, Simon, 100%. So I think this one, as you mentioned, it's a significant election, not just from a South African perspective, but from a global perspective. Mm-hmm. Later this year, we're going to have US elections. That's also quite significant for South Africa. But as it stands, we are busy counting. And this, regardless of what the outcome is going to be, I think there are some challenges here. I mean, there are debt servicing costs that's increasing on top of more debt. There's corruption, there's high unemployment, there's low growth. We've got infrastructure challenges in South Africa. So I do think that whatever the outcome of this election is going to be, the new government is going to have some challenges.
They absolutely are going to have some challenges. And depending on the results, I mean, this isn't a sort of I don't want to say foregone in a sense. I mean, you know, if you think about the US, we're unsure. If you think about the UK, it looks like the Conservatives will be out and we'll get Labour. We're not sure of the makeup of our government and if we focus on national government. And there could be differences depending who ultimately the coalition partners are. One of them, almost certainly the
ANC, but who they then decide to get into power with.
No, absolutely. And I think when you look at it from a market perspective, yes, there's a lot of noise in the numbers, and it's easy to lose perspective when the environment is as noisy as it is. But Simon, we've seen an interesting development in the last number of weeks, and it's actually a little bit more foreign interest in our bond market as opposed to what we saw in the beginning of this year. So it almost wants to tell you a little bit the story that foreign investors think the outcome might be more positive than initially anticipated. I mean, this week from a market perspective, it feels like investors have taken a bit more of a cautious stance. But yeah, some foreign buying into our bond market, that's quite a development.
We haven't seen that in an age. And certainly it kind of helps explain some of the rand strength, although strength perhaps doing a lot of heavy lifting in that sentence. But back to your earlier point around debt, around, I mean, the SOEs, infrastructure and like, what we really need is a strong hand in government and reforms. And again, that's going to depend which way we lean will depend on the outcome. But this could be, I don't want to say this is our sort of, you know, a giant election for us, but we could go different ways and they could be really positive. I mean, we could get really good outcomes from this.
No, absolutely. And I think, Simon, we've got so much going for us. The missing piece is confidence. I mean, at this point in time, private sector don't have enough confidence that government is doing a good enough job to provide an environment that is conducive for business. So there's lots and lots of cash sitting around on balance sheets. It's not being deployed because there's no confidence. Mm-hmm. If we start just seeing some level of reform, it doesn't have to be big things. It just needs to be small little steps in the right direction, and you could see it being hugely positive for South Africa. And as I mentioned, lots of cash sitting around waiting to be deployed, but just waiting for a little bit of confidence to come back.
I take your point on that. And I chatted with Andreas van Heerden a while ago from Afrimat, and he was saying in their construction materials, they're seeing more buying in the rail space. In other words, upgrading and repairing rail lines. They're seeing a fair bit in the SANRAL road space as well. And you said the word twice, and it's so important. It's around confidence. It's around the market, I suppose, believing whatever the coalition is and whatever they're promising. And if there is, I mean, we've got a market that, as you say, valuations are cheap and cash is ready and foreigners are looking for the first time in an age.
No, absolutely. And hopefully this coincides with maybe a little bit of a global risk on environment, and that the appetite for emerging market assets as a whole actually just improves. And South Africa would be a direct beneficiary of that if that is the case. So I do think, yes, the elections do have an impact on markets, but it's also important that for us to realize that politics don't happen in a vacuum. And I think that's quite an important point, because there's a lot of global factors at play at the moment, as well as company specific stuff that at the end of the day drive asset prices. It's not all about politics and elections, but yes, it does have an impact at the end of the day.
I take your point. We have a national election every 5 years and we obsess about it. But of course, those companies are working 365 days a year, and we hope that our trains and ports are as well. Deborah Slabbe, Portfolio Specialist Director at Morningstar South Africa. Always appreciate the insights. That's it for today. On Tuesday, we were chatting with Renzo Mkunzi from Future Growth Asset Management. We were talking five central banks. So our MPC today, next week Europe, a week after that, we've got the FOMC. And then the 2 week after that, we've got the Swiss and the English. We're asking you, do you think there's going to be any rate cuts over any of those banks? Almost 2/3 of you said, nope, not going to happen. A quarter said the ECB. And Renzo, that's what he also said. He said he thought the ECB might be cutting. About 10% were saying hopefully the SARB. The rest said the FOMC must cut, and they must cut now. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please rate us and leave a positive review in your podcatcher of choice. We'll chat again tomorrow. Inflation, higher for longer, the 3 Ds driving it.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.